BFM. This is Thursday Drive Time with Roscoe and Conroy. Roscoe's over there in the chair. You're tidying up like a woman. What are you doing?
I don't know. I'm getting a bit claustrophobic. Needed to tidy up.
Claustrophobic?
Yeah.
It's a big word for you. See, we can be intellectual sometimes, and that's why we've dragged into the studio Tony Cossing. How are you doing?
All right, Paul. Yeah, not too bad. I'm not too claustrophobic at the moment. Although I feel the media is being slightly boxed in a little tiny kind of three-dimensional box.
Okay, what's been going on then? You know, we're talking about this Leveson inquiry. See, we're getting deep now.
This is deep.
Yeah, it is deep. So just explain, and you've just been up to the BBC.
Well,
and I
suppose it's, why is this important? Why is it, you know, everyone's sort of singing on about Leveson and blah, blah, blah. It's because we rely on the press to find out what's going on in the world. Regional newspapers really don't tell us a lot. I mean, things like the Evening Post, we're not going to get a lot about what's going on nationally and internationally from them, are we?
They do tell you about girls that taekwondo muggers, though, in the Evening Post.
They love trivia.
They tell you who's just been moving out of our celebrity.
That's right. But you see, it's the London press, which this is really all about. And,
yeah.
One of the things about The Guardian is it started up in Manchester as a little independent, of Manchester's view of the world back in the 1800s. Old newspaper, and that to me is what we need a bit more of to get more plurality. Because what's happening with the recession is we've got more and more press concentrating fewer and fewer hands. So you've got a handful of proprietors and a handful of editors that are controlling what we see in here in Britain. And that has really changed over the last 30, 40 years. There's been a complete change in the character of the press in this country. And I think that's one of the reasons why people felt that they could get away with running what is effectively, looks like now, a criminal gang in the News of the World newsroom. They were basically going around doing criminal activities with apparent impunity, because there was nobody criticising them, because we haven't got that plurality. We haven't got lots of different voices in the press these days.
Do you think TV does that as well? You know, just the whole shebang.
Well, TV, I watch a few things on TV occasionally. I quite like Channel 4 News. I think they're fairly, you know, ITN are fairly balanced in their approach. I like some of the other satellite channels, like Russia Today on Freeview.
Paul likes Babe Station.
And, yes, well, there's also, yeah, but you see, the trivia is what they want. Yes, they want people getting involved in interesting trivia. You know, oh, let's look at the such and such a celebrities, whatever. Actually, the media is there as an important function in a democracy, which is to inform us on the people who are making decisions about our lives and our futures. You know, so we do need a little bit of that as well, Paul.
Yeah. So you're not just looking at Babe Station thinking, why is that woman on the phone? You're thinking deeper stuff. Programmes that, you know, talk about these things. And also, I just think what you watch on TV, you can believe straight away. You know, just if someone tells you something on the telly, Why question it?
Well, I mean, look at, for example, the coverage of Syria, what's been going on there. You've got pretty much the same point of view coming from all of the newspapers, all of the TV that's based in London, and obviously in the US and other parts of Europe as well, which is, oh, these rebels are righteous cause, aren't they fantastic? They're all freedom fighters. Let's give them rocket-propelled grenades. And whereas, hang on a minute, you know, if we had rebels in the streets of Bristol, would we be saying, let's give them rocket-propelled grenades so they can blow up police stations? I don't think we would.
Wouldn't happen, would it?
I don't know. It'd be good for the Evening Post. They'd have to report on, wouldn't they?
Give them a decent story on the front page, wouldn't
it? Taekwondoing teenage girls.
Or Alex Lovell being stalked.
Yeah.
It'd be better than that, wouldn't it?
It would. But, you know, so there is a serious side to all this Leveson business. And that is, I think we've got to be really careful about, you know, the concentration of media ownership. People criticise the journalists. I mean, obviously, some of the journalists at the News of the World were doing appalling criminal acts. It certainly looks like that now. And there'll be trials of them in the future. One of those guys who was in charge is this fellow, Andy Coulson. Andy Coulson, who was a news editor at the time, then suddenly goes on to a nice job in Downing Street, being the press secretary to the Prime Minister. Now, he's on several different criminal charges now, so there's obviously something wrong when, you know, you've got people who are in such a powerful position, like the old Alistair Campbell used to be. Now Andy Coulson, he took that job after Gordon Brown had left, you see. And anyone who's in that position, they should be, you know, fairly squeaky clean. You know, the idea that you've just finished running a criminal exercise, it shouldn't even be in the question there. So, you know, that's what this Leveson thing is all about for me. Actually, this isn't really about journalists at all. It's about the press owners and the press proprietors. So there's plenty of journalists out there who would love to have different proprietors, because a lot of the time they're scared of losing their jobs right now. They're looking over their shoulder, like many people are, thinking, well, if I write something that's going to be critical of the wrong person, I might lose my job. The other thing, aspect of all this, is that we've got here in Bristol, Chris Jeffries, you know, the guy who was accused of being a murderer. Remember that?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, serious, serious accusations by the press. Imagine if that was you, you know. And the questions still haven't really been answered about that, about the, whether the police, press office, phoned or was in contact with these various London press saying, well, we've got our man at last, you know. And those people, if those conversations took place, have they been called to account for those lies? Well, we'll see. And the, ultimately, this is going to bring about a new kind of regulation in Britain of the newspapers. And I'd like to see people like Chris Jeffries as one of the independent members of that committee deciding on, you know, who's right and who's wrong. And I think if someone like him was in that position, sitting in that chair saying, well, actually this newspaper article is appalling, we need a retraction and we need to have an apology printed on the front page of the Sun tomorrow, I think we might see some real change.
Well, there's a massive mistrust of authority at the moment, isn't there? You know, the police of Hillsborough, the Queen 90 paedophiles, so it's all going on at the moment, you know what I mean?
Well, it is, yes, absolutely.
People start to question, hang on, this shouldn't be happening. There's something wrong, you know. So,
well, the thing that's wrong ultimately is this toxic relationship between the media and the police. If you've got the media and the police too close, what happens is they kind of feed off each other. You know, the police are ultimately the police are doing is they're playing one media off against another. They're saying, well, you wrote something nasty about us, yeah, so we're not going to give you any stories. Now, so many of the stories that the media get are from the police. That what they can do is basically send an entire media organisation, as they did with ITN, for example, over the Joanna Yates case, to Coventry and say, you're not coming into any of our press conferences now. Yeah, so wow. once you get a relationship between the police and the media that's too close, as we've clearly got here with News International and the Metropolitan Police, because there was revolving doors going on, you know, someone's leaving their job in the Met, going straight into a job at News International, and the other way around, a lot of ex-journalists going straight into the press office at the Metropolitan Police. Suddenly you've got, you know, a toxic relationship between the two, and the media has to be independent, you know, and if they're in with the police, then it's almost impossible for them to be independent. Let's
exactly.
Just say one thing about Avon and Somerset, because I don't think that the situation here is as bad as in London, and I think there'd be, you know, if there's some police people listening in their cars now, they'd agree with me. They'll say, well, look, the Met, you know, let's not go there, guys, because they are quite dark. You know, so I don't think the situation even in Somerset around this area is quite as bad as that.
So were you talking about this on BBC today? Is that why you were up there?
I was up at the BBC. No, I was doing a thing on Russia Today, actually.
Okay.
On the Russian channel, and really explaining to people around the world what this impact is, because what's happened is Leveson has focused on the press. Actually, the real problem is that the police had information about criminal activity at the News of the World, right, all this phone hacking stuff, for 5 years, and they sat on it and they did nothing with it. And you know who was in charge of that operation?
Go on.
A guy called John Yates, right? Now, John Yates at the Yard, Yates of the Yard, he's now in Bahrain coaching the Bahraini police in riot control. Right, and since he moved over to Bahrain, this is one of the Gulf states that's very friendly with the West and Europe and NATO and all that, since he took over his job, several people have been killed by the riot police over in Bahrain. So he's fled the country, effectively, hasn't he? You know, he's not going to be called to justice for saying, oh, I tell you what, that phone hacking thing, I've had a look at it, and, well, I don't think it's worth investigating. Well, boy, how wrong he was. And I wonder, you know, was he on another salary as well as his Metropolitan Police salary too?
Probably. But we won't answer that.
We don't know.
Because we don't actually know, but, you know, it sounds like it, doesn't it?
So I suppose the upshot of all of this is that we may get a better press regime of the press, right? That is to say the newspapers, if people like Chris Jeffries are involved in some kind of new new committee, you know, new body which decides, or, you know, when people have got grievances, they can appeal to that committee, and the committee could say, hang on a minute, let's call the journalist and the editor in and have a word with them. Because we've got a problem with Ofcom. I mean, that's an existing kind of press regulator for TV, for ITV and all the satellite channels, is that the corporate, well, they have a corporate side, but they also got a thing called a consumer panel that looks at all these different complaints that come in from the public, right? Now, do you want to guess who chose the consumer panel?
Go on.
It's Odgers, the corporate headhunters, right? So these are the people, the corporate headhunters, that are deciding on who's going to be the consumers. I think that's appalling. It's not really an independent panel. It's a bunch of shall we say, rich people from London who are doing that job. Now, if it's people who've been victims of the press, I think they'll do a much, much better job. And so let's hope that's the case.
Wow. Well, you're on there tomorrow. At what time? You start the same time as us?
5 till 7. We do a news review in the first half of the show. But then in the second half, we've got someone who has been another person who's been a victim of the Metropolitan Police talking after 6 o'clock, and really about just how deep the rot goes in the Met. I mean, there was a book came out in about 2004, which was by two Guardian journalists who did a load of research on the corruption in the Metropolitan Police, came to the Guardian with all their research, and the Guardian said, oh God, guys, we can't print that, sorry. So they went along and printed it as a book. It's called The Untouchables. And a lot of that was about this particular case of Daniel Morgan, who's a guy who was killed by, but no one quite knows who, but he was a private investigator who was investigating the Metropolitan Police, and then he was found dead. But anyway, his brother is going to be on tomorrow talking about some of the corruption in the police, because I think that's actually at the root of the phone hacking business, is corruption in the Met, not necessarily journalists. Certainly not journalists. Maybe Murdoch, but not just ordinary journalists.
Interesting. All right, well, you're on tomorrow this time, 5 till 7 o'clock, and enjoy your show tomorrow.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you for giving me a bit of space.
That's all right. Thanks for coming in and putting a bit of intellect into this show.
Yeah, no one can say we're not intellectual.
Are we going back to page three now?
Yeah, we can go back to Babe Station in a minute. Shout Out is coming on next. It's the show, of course, with Andy.
They'll bring it back down for us, won't they?
Andy.
As a journalist, then, can you understand David Cameron's reluctance to underpin Leveson's suggestions with new legislation, new laws?
Well, yes, and he could be right to do that. I think let's leave aside for a minute the fact that Lord Justice Leveson is a close friend of Elizabeth Murdoch, who is not really the right person to do this job. But what happened here is we've had an inquiry into the press where actually the problem that started all this was a criminal gang, it looks like, within the Murdoch newsroom operating beyond the law. And really the failure was not of the press, it was of the police who failed to do their job. For something like 6 years, they had information about all sorts of phone hacking that was going on, including people who were trying to help the victims of the 7/7 London bombings, having their phones criminally hacked by the News of the World, by the Murdoch Empire. And so what Leveson has done, I think, is he's quite cleverly sort of moved the goalposts and blamed the press. And I suppose we have to wonder, do we have a free press here in Britain?
Well, yes, he blamed the press because, end of the day, at the beginning of it, it was the press that actually did this. Whether or not the police had information about what the press did, it was the press that instigated it.
Well, yes, but the criminal activity going on within the press was reported to the police, and the police did nothing about it.
Yeah, but it's no excuse.
I mean, it was
for them
their job,
it, though, is it? End of the day, to start with.
No, I'm not saying. Look, I'm not excusing that activity at all. What I'm saying is, if people are reporting that kind of thing to the police, and the police are then failing to act as they did in this case, I mean, the guy who's in charge of that investigation, John Yates, has now fled the country. He's not in Britain anymore. He was from the Metropolitan Police. He's now running the riot police in Bahrain, where several people have been killed since his arrival in Bahrain. So I think there's been an attempt to sort of smear out of the way of the real issue, which is the failure of criminal acts to be actually acted upon by the police. I'm not excusing that at all, you know, that the Murdoch Empire's activities. And let's not forget, the guy who was in charge of the News of the World at the time was this chap, Andy Coulson, who's the press secretary to the Prime Minister, David Cameron. And Cameron has been shown, with Jeremy Hunt, to have been actually batting for the Murdoch Empire as part of all of this, Kevin. So, you know, I think that you know, there needs to be a bit more of a focus on the failures of the police to actually to do anything about these criminal acts. Now, they've talked a lot about Ofcom in this, saying that we need to look at Ofcom. People probably don't know what that is. It's a British broadcasting regulator, and they're looking at that as some sort of wonderful model. In fact, the consumer panel of Ofcom were actually chosen by corporate headhunters, Odgers. Ofcom is something of a monstrosity. atrocity. If you write to Ofcom, as I do from time to time, complaining about programmes, you don't even get a reply from them. So the idea that this is going to be some sort of wonderful solution is neither here nor there. The fact of the matter is that it's very difficult for anybody but the rich to get access to justice when it comes to the British media, and also to buy the transmitters and buy the printing presses to run the press in Britain. So, you know, the poor don't get a justice at all.
What's going to happen here now, though? I mean, the Deputy Prime Minister, Nick Clegg, in a separate statement a bit earlier, supported the idea of changing the law. So there's clear political division over the report's conclusion tonight. Are we going to get to a position where the public are tangibly going to benefit from this long-running inquiry? What's really going to come out of it? I hear all the backstory you've been telling me about there, but the facts presented to us on the table. What's going to happen now?
Well, I think there will be some sort of new regulator set up. It may be that it doesn't need to be backed up by legislation, but ultimately there's a toxic mix of the police and the press which needs to be broken. I don't think this is necessarily going to address that, this inquiry. What happens
Did
if you get the two together, the police
to
and the...
Did you learn here from this, though, Tony? I don't quite get what you're saying here. Well, I hear what you're saying.
OK, Kevin.
I refer back to the journalists. Did they have anything to learn? Should they be chastised here?
Of course they should, and they are being. In fact, Coulson, who was the news editor, is being prosecuted along with Rebecca Brooks and others. But, you know, at the end of the day, the journalists don't own the transmitters. The journalists don't own the printing presses. It's the proprietors and the editors who are really, really culpable here. And what we need is some kind of plurality, which we do get on the internet. The mainstream press, though, I'm afraid, I don't know if this is going to cause a lot of changes with the way that our press operates. And I think that's because they're very rich, very powerful, and they've been lobbying very strongly to make sure that there's going to be some kind of a regulator, but it will be probably independent in name. But will it actually represent the people who are victims, who have very little access to justice, like Chris Jeffries from here in Bristol, who was said to be a murderer by the press? You know, these are the kinds of people that we should have on these press independent boards, and let's hope that someone like Chris and others like him end up on there, because they are supposed to be the people who are in the majority on this new board.
Interesting points you're raising there. Investigative journalist Tony Gosling on the line from Bristol. Thanks ever so much.